Perfect. Hey, everybody. Jerry Jones here with Jerry Jones Direct. And this is the Jerry Jones Direct radio show and podcast. And with me today, I've got my good friend and longtime client member, Dr. Sean Tarpenning out of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And we're recording this on a Friday in May, post-COVID. So, yeah. Marion County, where I'm at, is still shut down thanks to the dictatorial governor we have and her brilliant plan to reopen the state and save lives. And so many people are still not working and they're still staying at home. I thought it'd be a good time maybe to catch up with one of our members and hear directly from a dentist who's practicing, who's been dealing with this and has now, as of Monday, reopening successfully at full speed ahead. So Sean, you've been a guest on this show a couple of times over the years, and I always appreciate you coming back and just sharing your honest, straightforward opinions and thoughts and what you're learning as different situations we've talked about over time kind of, occur. Yep. And I think this is one of those times where a lot of docs won't be able to open. I mean, there are some states that now, like New York, I mean, I look at, I don't even want to call him a goofball because it's an insult to goofballs. But there's, a governor in New York, for example, that he's probably going to just absolutely slaughter a number of business sectors because of his inability to make a decision and move forward and his, abhorrence to risk, if you will. We'll try not to make this too political, although if you're sensitive to these kinds of things, I would suggest you hit stop and just go find another podcast to listen to, because we just kind of tell it like we think it is here on this radio show. So, Sean, as you've kind of, I guess maybe why don't we start at the beginning? What sort of happened to your practice from a human capital standpoint, from a patient flow standpoint, from the fear that maybe some of your team members had? Can you kind of walk us through the last couple of months at Hebert Dental up in Wisconsin?
Yeah. I think it was around, we were full steam ahead until probably about St. Patrick's Day. And then we realized, maybe there's something to be concerned about. So at that point in time, I think we decided to shut down kind of our hygiene services and most of our people. We had the order from the governor or whatever sometime around there or sometime thereafter, shutting everything kind of down. So we kind of just went into emergency mode where we just had each of our doctors just had one assistant and a front office gal, and everybody else was kind of working from home. Fortunately, we've had some people working from home in the past for financial stuff and whatnot. So we kind of had all those systems in place, which was very nice. So, we have 22 operatories. So the first week or two, we had people literally just calling and rescheduling appointments on the backside. And like I said, fortunately, us doctors have worked every day during COVID season, seeing emergencies the whole time. And there were a lot of doctors' offices, at least in our neck of the woods, that were literally just closed the doors. Yeah. So, we averaged probably 10 to 12 new patients a week, and we were pulling teeth, taking care of abscesses, emergencies, doing root canals. All those things that we could do to kind of help keep people out of pain, because our mission kind of became, let's make sure we keep people out of ERs where they, have to worry about getting infected from the other hospital people and so on and so forth. So that was kind of our rallying call for a while. And then as it dragged on, it kind of, it's kind of like, okay, well, what are we going to do for now? And we started putting plans together about, how we're going to reopen. And fortunately, some other dental offices in town, some bigger corporate places, started, hinting at reopening. And so we just kind of followed their lead because we figured if they're reopening, well, why can't we? Fortunately, in our county, at least, we've got about 200,000 in our county or so. And we literally have had at most, up until this week, at most 20 and 30 positive cases. And we have three huge hospitals. Quite honestly, one of the bigger hospitals, I know some of the doctors that I've spoken to, they lost over $900 million in, you know, elective procedures, and they were furloughing doctors. So, you know, just hearing that was kind of sickening. So, and we know those patients are just putting off needed treatment, you know, down, and now it's going to be worse. So it's a challenge for sure in healthcare. But obviously I went into healthcare to help people and take care of people. And I always try and put my patients before me or their interests before me. So I kind of looked at COVID as just, you know, hey, I signed up to be a dentist, and, you know, like firefighters have to deal with fire, road construction workers have to worry about cars on the road, you know, running into them. You know, this is my job, and this is what I got to deal with. So we try to protect our people the best we can, make them feel comfortable. Our office manager every day during the whole thing was in contact with all 25 of our people, making sure they knew what, you know, our plans were for the day, for the week, and, you know, what our hopes were. Our biggest issue was, quite honestly, making sure, because we have five hygienists who work double columns. We have 10 operatories for hygiene. We have another 10 operatories for the, you know, the docs and stuff like that. So our biggest thing was making sure we have enough PPE and, you know, enough masks. We just can't get enough. Fortunately, I reached out, or one of your other members reached out to me last week, and he said, how are things going? And he found a direct line for me to get some more PPE. So being in your group has more advantages than you know, because we all get to know each other, and we're all trying to help each other out, which is really awesome. So you're able to secure a bunch of more masks. And so now we're full opening up next week.
Oh, that's great news. Let's go through, maybe walk through some of these, because, and the reason why I want to do this, there are lessons that we can take from the last couple of months. I've been just inundated mentally with, I don't know, that's probably not the right phrase, but I know I've been just trying to catalog all of the things that are happening and the responses that I have and the mechanics and the thought process that goes into solving these kinds of issues, these problems that were, you know, just boom, we've got new problems. Never had them before. Now we've got them. So I think it's important to walk through that process that you guys went through.
Right.
You mentioned Stephanie being in regular ongoing contact with your team. You know, there's, I think a lot of docs, some that I've talked to, they did not do that. They just kind of, like you said, they shut their door and walked away. And there was kind of like, well, I'll call you when we open, which I think is a grave mistake, because, you know, you look at a business, a dental practice, one of the most valuable assets in a practice next to the patients are, you know, the human capital, the people.
Yeah.
What did that look like? And was that a decision you guys made early on to just say, hey, we need to keep everybody on the same page? I know what your answer is, because I know how you guys operate and why you operate. But I'm curious, you know, what did that simple decision look like?
I think it really is born in our culture. I mean, we are very upfront and very communicative with our team and staff. So I don't think we even thought about it. We just, you know, as executives, we kind of get together and talk for a little bit about it, what we're going to do. And then it was just immediately disseminated to everybody, because we want everybody to be crystal clear about how things are going to go down. And I think having that attitude and the attitude that, hey, we're going to make it through this, and we're going to, you know, hit the gas when we're all done, is the only way. Well, that's the only way I deal with problems anyways. So, and that's my mentality, like, burn us to the ground. Well, we're going to get up and start building again tomorrow. You know, it's like somebody squashes an anthill. We're going to be right back at it the next day. So
that's right. Yeah.
We have two new docks that we're bringing aboard still and, you know, going great guns. There's obviously a little concern like, oh, is there going to be this or is there going to be that? But we really don't think of lack. We just say, you know, there's an abundance and we just got to be able to fulfill the patient's needs, whatever they may be out there. So it may change, you know, what patients need and want and all that stuff, but we're going to do our best to serve them and be productive.
So you would really push on the fact that you relied on the culture you'd established pre-COVID, pre-shutdown, as well as just the inherent leadership that is part of what you guys do. I mean, right. I know Stephanie and you fairly well and how you operate. And I've always been impressed with that, you know, very direct approach. It isn't let's mask our intentions and be subversive about it. It's just very, hey, it's very direct, which is my style. You know, if I don't like you, you're going to know I don't like you. Right. But if I like you, I'm also going to make sure you know that. And, you know, that's just an example, but, I think so many offices that will struggle on the recovery on the rebound, they were struggling in ways pre, you know, right. shutdown that are, you know, they're indicative of lack of leadership, no culture or really piss poor culture. So, I know you guys had that going for you. And if there was any practice, you know, that could take a hit and keep right on ticking, you know, it's yours. How did your team members handle this? Because this is a challenge that I'm hearing a lot. And I'll give you an example. Another business I'm involved in, we manage commercial properties. And that business, we're dealing with tenants, right? And the tenants have employees. Yeah. And those employees, I mean, now this morning on the news, and I'm not surprised to see it this morning, businesses get ready for the lawsuits because they're coming, you know. Be careful how you communicate to your employees and making demands that may be deemed unreasonable. In other words, putting them in danger. You know, I mean, they're in danger every day. Never mind the fact that if they get in their car and drive to work, that's the biggest risk they face of all.
Yep.
And it really truly is. That is just a fact.
Yep.
But, you know, if you ask your employees to show up in your office, you damn well better be prepared. So mentally, what have you done to help your team members get past their fears? And did they have any fears? Are there any team members who are like legitimately scared witless because they've been tuned into this bullshit nonstop?
Fortunately, no. But basically spent a lot of time just, I mean, I put on a couple of lectures during the time or presentations online during the time explaining, you know, what we're learning about this virus. And, you know, I'm sure they're hearing different things, but I wanted to hear, you know, let them know from my perspective what, you know, my feelings were on it. And the fact that, you know, obviously we're not going to put you in harm's way. We're going to give you every opportunity to, hell, if you need a hazmat suit to make you feel comfortable working, we're going to get you one. Uh-huh. And the good news is when you have a good culture, I mean, fortunately I'm in Northwestern Wisconsin and these ladies are tough, you know, like they're not afraid of shit. So out of the 20,
these are the women that on the weekends are out riding four wheelers. They're playing in the mud, they're fishing, they're hunting. That's just who they are, right? That's who
they are. But we hire for those people too, that, you know, because it just, we're tough, you know, and we tell everybody, hey, if you want to be a part of our team, you've got to be, you know, you're tough, you know, and that's part of who we are as a group of a tribe or a group of people.
Yeah.
So we've only had one that's really got any concerns, and that's honestly her own fault, and she knows it. She's a heavy smoker, and, you know, and she has asthma issues. She's clogged lungs from, you know, smoking a lot of those years. And and so it's like, well, we're going to do everything we can to keep you well protected. And she's, you know, grown comfortable with that. And she feels fine with it. Having 22 other women who are like, this is totally fine. We're going to be okay. you know, we've been dealing with these aerosols for our whole career anyway.
Yes. Yes.
You know, this is no different. And you know, it's that, and if you don't feel comfortable, we gave her an out, you know, either, hey, you know, this job isn't right for you anymore. That is fine. We understand. We can either find you a different position perhaps, or, you know, you can exit the company. And of course she wasn't interested in that at all. So it, you know, group culture is a big thing. Now, if we had 20 people who were all scared to death, well, then that's a whole different story. And I can see that happening. It's just, that's not our culture. So we're not afraid of hard work. In fact, part of our cultural thing is, you know, we're not afraid to get our hands dirty and do some hard work, you know, whatever that may be. Right. It was a great week this week. We have, you know, my other partner was gone turkey hunting this week. And so we were repainting. We had all the gals repainting the upper level while I worked in the lower level. And the camaraderie just from painting, they all hated it, but
they hated it together.
Yeah, they hated it together, and they got to be together, which was awesome for reminding us of, you know, what we had lost for a while. Because most of these gals came back and said, I was sick of sitting at home after week one. You know, I wanted to get back to work where I'm interacting with all my friends and hanging out with people I like. And that's just, work is kind of fun for us. So, so they're all ready to get back to work for sure. Yeah. So yeah. This week was a great coming back together party. And then next week we'll hit her hard. So
good. What sort of communications have gone on between A-Bear Dental and patients? And when did that start? And what does that look like?
We've been, you know, emailing and sending out a newsletter, I think, about, you know, hey, things we're doing differently. We're trying to, you know, be careful. And, you know, we always use universal precautions, all the stuff everybody else is saying. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, mostly what our patients complained about was, why can't I get in now?
Again, the tough Wisconsin, like, stock, right?
Like, I want my cleaning this week. And we're like, you know, our problem is we can't get enough masks. And, you know, trying to explain why we can't see them was probably harder than, you know, reopening the doors. And I understand different parts of the country are probably totally different, you know, but fortunately we've got that mentality here in Wisconsin, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen more 80-year-olds this last week than I have. And, you know, whatever, they're happy to see people. Albeit our operatory system, we have 22 operatories and we all have doors on each one of our things. So we're able to see everybody individually. So, you know, there's very little interaction.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we're kind of, patients feel comfortable in that too, I think. So,
yeah. Well, birds of a feather, right? Yeah. I mean, if you look at where the fear is highest, look at the leadership.
Yeah.
And that there is something to that. And because those same people that have a high level of fear elected those people who are now guiding that high level of fear and maybe helping sort of, you know, again, I'm kind of probably getting in an air political, but it's not like it's a secret how I think about any of this stuff.
Right. Right.
And yeah, I mean, at the beginning I was concerned, because we didn't know anything.
Right.
Apparently we knew a lot really quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm frustrated that the message of recovery seems to just get pushed down in a lot of areas where that fear level is really unreasonably high.
Right.
You know, and I keep going back to the car example. You know, and I had a dentist out of Texas argue with me on that and called, you know, said, well, Jerry, you're not a doctor. You don't know. And I said, and you're not a physician. You're a dentist. And, you know, so how is it that you can argue a point better than I, or how is it, you know, I mean, we kind of went around and around. I said, look, bottom line is car accidents kill more people than anything else. We need to ban cars. We need to shut down McDonald's. We need to shut down Burger King because those are the second causes, obesity, blah, blah, you know, and of course he didn't want to have anything to do with that.
No,
you know, you got to use some level of common sense, you know, and I think common sense is not so common, and it gets less common the more this fear, you know, and this, you know, whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
It is.
What about, and I think this is an important question, in the coming weeks, as you start to see more and more patients. Obviously, cash flow is a big thing that's on your mind, that's on every dentist's mind, every doctor I've talked to, because we talk marketing with docs,
right.
You know, they're saying, hey, look, I'm not going to have the budget that I had before. You know, I'm concerned about, you know, insurance, lag of insurance payments and on and on and on, but it's all based around finance. What sort of adjustments or concessions or trainings, what are you doing at Hebert Dental to sort of help some of these folks who have been affected by this, help them out with getting the care they need?
Good question. And we'll kind of see that in the coming, you know, the coming weeks and months and whatnot too, how things are going to change. But, you know, we've always been firm but flexible kind of feeling with our office, but that's helped us, you know, do a lot of production and be rather successful. Fortunately, we were able to, during COVID, because both Dr. Aber and I were working our butts off and shucking teeth. And I mean, granted, I think my last month when I was just seeing emergencies, I did over 60,000, which, you know, is enough to pay all of our fixed expenses and have a little bit of money. And we got some PPP money or whatever we call that, just to help pay for our workers.
Yeah.
So that's obviously helping there too, but it's just helped us, you know, be even more bottom line number oriented, where we're really trying to hold the line on expenses. We basically, over the, you know, COVIDs, we basically looked line item by line item, like, what do we really need and what can go? And you know, all that stuff. So it became even more clear what we needed and what we didn't. And, so now hopefully, you know, our cash flow little lag, you know, can be bumped by whatever cash we need. Dr. Aber and I inflected a little bit of cash to kind of keep it going, but I feel confident that we'll be able to, ramp up and be just fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've kind of always tried to, Dr. Aber and I are very conservative doctors. So, you know, I drive a 2007 Honda Accord and he drives a, I'm sure, 2005 Suburban that's all rusted out and beat up. So, I mean, we got cash sitting around, fortunately, that isn't wasted on frivolous stuff. So I'm thankful for that attitude during, you know, all this stuff. But, you know, so that's helped too.
Good. So you were prepared. I mean, you had reserves. You listened to people that said, hey, you know, you ought to have cash reserves.
Right.
You can't operate, you know, just on that razor thin. Oh, I got enough money for this month. Hope we do well next month.
Right.
And maxing out all your credit cards. I mean, that's hopefully a few more people learn that lesson. I learned my lesson the hard way. A lot of people learn the lessons the hard way because, you know, we're men and we're kind of slow with that respect. But, you know, it took me taking my lumps. But like you, I mean, you know, Jerry Jones Direct, we operate basically on, you know, we expand as work expands. We contract as work contracts. I mean, it was a non-event for me at this business. My other business, I thought it was going to be impactful. Turns out it wasn't. I was really impressed with how so many of our commercial tenants handled themselves. But a lot of that was due in large part to communication and us providing them tools to avoid problems.
Yeah.
I mean, we led the way, for example, on the PPP stuff. We were talking to them and communicating with them before anybody was even doing anything about it.
Awesome.
So we were trying to give them avenues. Hey, if you're going to have a problem, here's what you need to do. And I think that's one of the big lessons I learned is, you know, just getting ahead of the game, communication wise for everyone. Employees, you know, at my business, we sat down, we had a meeting. Okay. This is what's happening. Tomorrow, we're not going to be in the office and we won't be here for at least a week. We'll reevaluate at that point. So like you, I have experience working from, you know, remote with remote teams. It's no big deal. It was literally, you know, maybe a half an hour of people adjusting to, you know, whatever it was. I mean, not a big deal. It was a non-event, like you said. So, what are some of the big lessons that you, I mean, what's maybe one or two big lessons that you've really pulled from this that you feel can carry you, you know, further along and help you be an even more successful practitioner?
Well, I just think the realization that it can all kind of go away pretty quickly makes everything you do a little bit more precious and a little more, a little more important, for lack of better words. I don't have the word. And that change can happen very rapidly, and that's for the good and the bad. So the fact that we can change and adapt much more quickly than we thought we probably could, because after things are nice for a while, you kind of tend to get a little complacent and set in your ways a little bit. And then any changes are like hard, but I think we realize like we can make changes literally in an instant and take things a new direction. And I think that's a great lesson to learn, that and being grateful for what we have and being able to work and do something we love, I think is only just going to help us move forward. Because I know there are a lot of people, and I'm sure you hear it too, it's like their staffs or teams really don't care if they go back to work, and they'll come up with every excuse not to go back to work, especially when unemployment's paying them more than what they were earning before, and like, well, and from our perspective, we think that's great, because now we have the opportunity to take more market share too. Not to sound rude, but this is our opportunity to grow and expand in the areas that we were struggling to try and grow into. And now we can serve people even better, because we're adding people. This is a chance too for other people to see what we really got, and that we have a great team, and to jump ship maybe, to join. We're especially looking at people in the restaurant industry and stuff like that, where, hey, they're in the service industry, yet, who knows when they're going to be back to full capacity, and hey, come join our team, because bam, bam, bam. Because before this all hit, obviously the biggest challenge for us was to try and find and hire people, because it was just, the job market was so tight, and now it's obviously loosening up a little bit, so we have a chance to find great people. So there's always two sides to every event. You can look at the dark, gloomy side of it, or you can go, hey, what are the opportunities here? And I always tend to look at the bright side of it, and it's, what's that old story, if there's two kids, two brothers or whatever, and parents bring them out to the back shed, and it's like there's a pile of horse shit, in the backyard, and the one kid goes, great, I suppose I'm going to have to shovel all this horseshit out of here. And the other kid just goes and starts digging it out. And he's like, the parents are like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, well, I figure with all the horseshit around here, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere, So two ways to look at it, I suppose. So,
well, it's interesting you bring that up. There's a silver lining in everything. And there are a lot of silver linings in the situation we're in. And I think, you can either focus on the negative, and be grumpy. I get grumpy about the situation we're in. I get grumpy, I guess, about the people in charge. That's where my frustration level is. But I've learned a lot, found a number of silver linings. And it just, and I think you hit the nail on the head, being grateful for what we are blessed with. And, we were talking a little bit earlier about the 1665 Black Death in England, where people were literally exploding and running naked down the streets because they were going crazy. And there were dead carts being hauled from door to door. It made me think about Monty Python, the guys, bring out your dead. Well, I mean, there are going to be new industries birthed and rebirthed and some destroyed. All of that stuff, it's there. It's happening, and you can either, make some silk out of the sow's ear. I guess that's the same. Make a silk purse out of it, or you can cry about it. I prefer to be movement oriented and head in a good direction. So, any other thoughts of wisdom you'd like to share with our audience today, Sean?
Well, I really do appreciate your leadership during this time. I mean, believe it or not, that we had, three or four thought leaders that we always kind of turn to and tune into, I should say. And you're certainly one of them. And we just really appreciate, because your leadership reflects on us and, you know, in turn reflects on other people. So really cool having you share what you did, you know, obviously through this time. So, because we appreciate it. We all act all tough all the time, but we need, you know, re-encouragement and positive vibes once in a while too. And hey, we're not the only ones thinking this or, you know, whatnot. So we appreciate that too.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure. And like you, I've got people that I rely on and that I go to vet my thoughts. And
yeah,
you know, and I've been probably rightfully and unrightfully frustrated during this time, probably like a lot of folks.
Yeah.
The ones that bother me the most are the ones that just sit and do nothing and wait for permission. And yes, that's not American. As far as I'm concerned, that is not American. You know, we push the envelope, we push the limits. We try and get the people that are impeding or the things that are impeding our progress out of the way.
Yeah.
And for someone to just sit there and twiddle their thumbs and be happy at home. I literally had a guy tell me the other day, I was checking out of a grocery store. I bought a big side of beef, you know, for, that I was going to throw on my smoker, and I'm standing in line there, you know, and everybody around me's got masks on and gloves. And I'm just going, here we are, you know, here we are. And I get to the counter and I asked the guy, I said, well, are you looking forward to this being over? And he said, he goes, I'm really looking forward to be able to go out to eat. And I'm looking forward to go outside again. I'm like, and I said, what do you mean go outside again? He goes, well, you know, stay at home. We got to stay inside. And I only go to work. And I was like, really? I go, so that's what that means to you, huh? And I go, and you haven't left or gone anywhere? He's like, oh no, we have a stay at home order. And I really fall. And I'm a stickler for the rules. And I thought to myself, that is not an individual I would want even around me or working for my company. I mean, it's just, I get it. He's a rule follower and God bless him. But that's not the mentality that'll move us forward. Those are the people that want a vaccine before they're going to leave their home.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
We're going to be waiting a long time.
Long time. Yep. Well, Sean, thank you. I really appreciate it. If anybody has questions for you, would like to reach out for words of encouragement or maybe some thoughts on how they can get their practice cranked up and going, would you mind sharing your contact info?
No, Sean Tarpening. Pretty sure you can find me online at aberdental.com or whatever, H-E-B-E-R-T, dental. And just shoot me an email through there, and I'll be glad to answer or help anybody out.
Okay, great. I appreciate it, Sean. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll catch you next time. And stay tuned for another show, Jerry Jones Direct Radio Show. Talk to you later.